Welcome to episode 935 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Romans, unlike the narrative-driven Acts or the Gospels, is a theological epistle and doesn't contain stories in the traditional sense. Instead, it focuses on deep theological teachings, arguments, and exhortations from Paul to the church in Rome. Still, there are several personal touches and lesser-known facts within the epistle that one might find intriguing. Throughout Romans, Paul expresses a deep desire to visit the church in Rome, which he did not found and had never visited. This longing is woven through his narrative. In Romans 15, Paul explains his reasons for not having visited and outlines his intentions and motivations for his travels, which shed light on his approach to mission and ministry. Paul states he has made it his ambition to preach the gospel where Christ is not known, so he would not be building on someone else's foundation. This approach reflects Paul's strategy of pioneering new Christian communities in regions not yet reached by the gospel. Later, he mentions his plan to visit Rome en route to Spain. His intent to travel to Spain symbolizes his desire to push the boundaries of the gospel further into the Gentile world, indicating his delay in visiting Rome is due to missionary work elsewhere. Still, he wants to go to Rome, as he sees the city as a crucial stopover that can provide mutual encouragement and possibly support his mission further west. Mission is central to Paul's reasoning throughout his letter. His dedication to spreading the gospel, where Christ is not known, highlights his commitment to extending the reach of Christianity, which is fundamental to understanding his travel plans and priorities. His strategy reflects a deep commitment to the missionary calling, emphasizing the establishment of new congregations and the expansion of Christian influence. From Paul's words, we can learn several key points about mission and witnessing. Pioneering spirit. Emulating Paul's pioneering spirit can inspire modern believers to engage those who have not heard the gospel, venturing beyond comfortable and familiar territories. Strategic planning. Paul's methodical approach to his travels shows the importance of strategic planning and mission work. His plans are thoughtful, involving both preaching of the gospel and the strengthening of ties with existing communities. Mutual encouragement. His anticipation of mutual encouragement between himself and the Romans underscores the reciprocal nature of Christian ministry, where both the giver and receiver are uplifted. In Romans 15, verse 27, Paul makes an important theological and practical point about the relationship between Jews and Gentiles. He argues that if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. This statement not only highlights the interconnectedness of the Jewish and Gentile members of the church, but also sets a precedent for a kind of economic and spiritual reciprocity. It reflects the broader Pauline theme that in Christ, Jews and Gentiles are brought together into a new community where spiritual and material resources are to be shared equitably. This teaching is particularly significant because it challenges both Jewish and Gentile believers to recognize their mutual dependence and to act in a way that reflects their unity in Christ. It points to a broader principle of Christian giving and sharing that transcends cultural and ethnic boundaries, emphasizing the holistic nature of Christian community and mission. At the end of Romans, in chapter 16, Paul includes a long list of greetings to various individuals in Rome, which is unique among his letters for its length and detail. This section provides insights into the diverse and interconnected nature of the early Christian community. It includes mentions of people like Priscilla and Aquila. This couple are among Paul's closest friends and collaborators. They are mentioned several times in the New Testament as early missionaries. According to Acts, they are tent makers like Paul and flee Italy because of an edict from Claudius expelling Jews from Rome. They help guide Apollos, an eloquent Christian speaker. Tradition holds that they are martyred for their faith. Paul greets Rufus, who is called chosen in the Lord, and his mother is said to have also been like a mother to Paul. Tradition suggests that he may be the same Rufus mentioned in Mark 15, verse 21, as the son of Simon of Cyrene, the Jewish man who was forced to carry Jesus' cross. Also mentioned is Epaenetus, who is described as the first convert to Christ in Asia, not the continent, but the Roman province. In Romans 16, verses 1-2, Paul introduces Phoebe, a deacon of the church at Centuri, who is possibly the carrier of the letter to the Romans. He commends her to the Roman Christians and asks them to assist her in whatever she may require. This mention highlights the role of women in the early church and their involvement in significant responsibilities. Phoebe is thought to have been a wealthy woman, who may have used her resources to support the church. The early church fathers speak highly of her. The title deacon, attributed to Phoebe, suggests that she held a recognized position within the early church. The term deacon can be interpreted in various ways, ranging from a servant or minister to an official position involving specific duties within the Christian community. In Phoebe's case, it likely implies a leadership role, possibly involving ministry to other women, oversight of certain church activities, or administrative duties. The church in Centuri, a port city near Corinth, would have been a hub for travelers like Paul, making her role particularly strategic for the support of missionaries and church administration. Being a carrier of Paul's letter is a task of great responsibility, as Phoebe would have not only transported the letter, but also likely helped to explain and interpret its contents to the congregation at Rome. This indicates a high level of trust in her understanding of Paul's theology and teachings. Romans 16, verses 25 to 27. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. These closing verses of Paul's letter serve as a doxology, a short hymn of praise to God that encapsulates the themes of the epistle and emphasizes the power and wisdom of God in the gospel of Jesus. Paul begins by acknowledging God's ability to strengthen believers, a central theme throughout Romans. The strengthening is, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, tying the believer's spiritual empowerment directly to the gospel message Paul preaches. This gospel is not merely good news, but a divine power that actively works in believers to sustain and fortify faith. This reinforcement is rooted in the person and work of Christ, pointing to the transformative impact of understanding and internalizing his life, death, and resurrection. The phrase, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, refers to the divine plan of salvation that was partially hidden but now fully revealed through Jesus. This mystery includes the incorporation of the Gentiles into God's redemptive plan alongside Israel, a significant revelation. The mystery, once hidden, has now been fully revealed, underscoring the fulfillment of God's promises through Christ and the prophetic scriptures. The mystery's disclosure through the prophetic writings asserts that the Old Testament scriptures pointed towards this plan of salvation, and that Christ's coming was a fulfillment of these prophecies. The gospel's revelation to all nations emphasizes the universal scope of God's salvation, aligning with Paul's mission to the Gentiles and his theological emphasis on the inclusivity of the gospel. This revelation aligns with the command of the eternal God, indicating that the unfolding of this plan is by divine command and not human invention, aimed at leading to the obedience of faith. This phrase, obedience of faith, brackets the entire epistle and encapsulates Paul's thesis that genuine faith inherently calls for a response that involves obedience, merging belief, and action. The doxology in verse 27, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ, serves as a culmination of the themes of God's wisdom and sovereignty. It reflects the acknowledgement that all God's actions are marked by infinite wisdom and are directed towards his glorification through Jesus. These verses not only provide a fitting conclusion to the epistle, but also encapsulate Paul's central message of faith, grace, and universal salvation. They remind the readers of the power of the gospel to transform lives and sustain believers, the fulfillment of God's redemptive promises, and the ultimate purpose of all divine action, the glory of God. This doxology calls believers to a faith that obeys and a life that glorifies God, rooted in the profound truths of the gospel revealed through Jesus. Father, thank you for the rich wisdom and guidance found in Paul's letter to the Romans. Help us to deepen our understanding of your gospel and to live lives that are set apart for your glory. May we be inspired by Paul's example to share the good news with boldness and love. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest. Today.